Good afternoon, and welcome to another episode of El Paso Primetime. It's Saturday, November the 5th, 2016. I'm Richard Dayoub, President and CEO of the Greater El Paso Chamber of Commerce. And today we have with us Ms. Dori Fennenbach, who is the President of the El Paso ISD Board of Trustees, and Mr. Juan Cabrera, who is the Superintendent of EPISD. And we are here, as I'm sure most of you have already figured out on your own, to talk about the bond that will be decided by you, the voters, this coming Tuesday, November the 8th. It's a fairly big one. It's $668 million. But instead of my giving you all this information, I'd rather hear from our guests. I'm sure you would, too. So why don't we start, ladies first, with our board president, Dori Fennenbach. You don't have to talk about what it's like to have to work with Juan.
Hi, thank you for having us. It's our pleasure to be here to talk about the important work that we're doing on behalf of our community and our district in addressing long overdue facility needs. This process actually began 3 years ago when we recognized that there had not been a facility study done in the district in over 10 years, closer to 15 years. And so there was a nationally recognized engineering firm hired to evaluate our 92 campuses, door-to-door, floor-to-ceiling, and created a report identifying over $1 billion, $1.2 billion in critical facility needs. Our operating budget is $500 million, our annual operating budget. 85% of that is salaries and personnel. We also have to pay for transportation and food service and athletics, for example. It's simply not in our budget to address that magnitude of facility needs. And actually, the state of Texas does not fund for school facilities, school buildings. Communities must rely on local property taxes. Other cities in Texas, such as Houston, San Antonio, Austin, Dallas, are making similar investments in their facilities. So we decided to pursue this. And the process was, how do we prioritize? We obviously couldn't go out for a $1 billion bond in our community. We engaged an 80-person committee made up of people across the district, parents, teachers, business people, and other citizens, all across the district. And they worked over 4 months, toured schools, reviewed data, heard from staff, and they selected the projects. They selected the size. There was a survey that we did in June testing the tolerance of a size of the bond. And they determined the $668 million worth of projects that were rebuilding or partially rebuilding 7 of our 10 high schools, technology investments at every school across the district, transportation and buses for every school across the district, and athletic improvements and improvements to playgrounds across the district.
Very good. Thank you. So we didn't say the actual reasons why we settled on that exact amount. We talked about how we couldn't go for $1 billion. The committee itself, made up of, what, 80 people in our community, right?
That's right.
From all walks of life and representing all parts of the community, were part of this fairly lengthy process in order to settle in and agree, which that's a key word here, because to get 80 people pretty much to agree on anything, let alone tax money, bond money, and how best to spend it, I think is something we need to underscore and not take for granted. Would either one of you care to just touch on that a little bit?
I think it's truly remarkable that 80 people, and these are people that came in with a pet school and a project that they wanted to endorse, and they did agree unanimously on this one recommendation, 80 people, unanimous recommendation. And then it went to the trustees who agreed unanimously to not add to or take away from that recommendation and put it in front of the voters. And we also have received tremendous support from many community partners that have offered their endorsement, including the Chamber of Commerce, the Firefighters Association, our teachers' organizations, the PTA,
the AGC, Senator Rodriguez, Congressman O'Rourke, a few of our local delegation members.
People who have invested the time to understand the needs of the district, understand the process to get to this, understand that this gets us about a little over halfway to address the needs and facilities, and now it's the community's turn to get behind us. There's tremendous momentum happening in the district, tremendous momentum related to programming and progressive educational reform that I hope the superintendent will have an opportunity to talk about. This is now the community's opportunity to jump in and continue the momentum and progress of the EPISD.
Thank you, Dory. And actually, you said something that really segues into a question for Juan. The 2007 bonds, that was the last time the voters approved a bond, pretty significant.
Yes.
But there are lots of questions that still remain. And of course, as we've been through with even our quality of life bonds for the city, there are those who are strongly supportive of progress and improvements and recognize that we simply have to continue to invest in our community. And there are those who just simply want it to stay the way it is. I get that. I mean, it's just human nature. It's not just El Paso, right? It's everywhere. The ballpark, the fight that went on over the ballpark is, you know, almost, well, it's the stuff of folklore now. But interestingly enough, today, it's you're hard-pressed to find someone who was vocally opposed to the bonds that took care of building the ballpark. And here we are today. Everybody thinks it's a great idea, right? I'm not sure what happened to those folks that were that vocal, so-called vocal minority. But let's talk a little bit about the 2007 bonds. There's a lot of questions out there. How much remain in those dollars that were allocated, and why were they reallocated?
Well, and actually, you might have been a part of the initial process. Obviously, this was before my time, before Ms. Fennebach's time. And in 2007, a portion of that bond, specifically two schools, a high school and an elementary, totaling about $54 million, were included in the bond. And those were based on some work with Fort Bliss and BRAC that discussed specifically that there would be growth in the far northeast, on the northeast side of our district, essentially out 54 north of Sean Hagerty. And as it turned out, the soldiers that came in to – Fort Bliss was a recipient of a larger, you know, armed forces. More soldiers arrived, but the majority have moved to East Bliss. And that's on the new where the new Beaumont Hospital is. That's, you know, where 375 Montana meet on the eastern side of the city. And what happened was that the growth never materialized. So there were a lot of mistakes made in past administration and trustees, but actually in this case, I think this was a good decision. We being school districts, follow growth. We do not lead growth. So we go where the homes are, and we go where cities are moving. In this case, had we built those schools, they literally would probably not have anything around them. Very few of those 4,000 predicted homes were built, and the $54 million was held in reserve. When I arrived in 2013, 6 years after the bond, all of the bond money had been spent already, I guess, 2 years before I arrived, but that $54 million sat there. The Board of Managers received a recommendation from a bond oversight committee that had been in place for 12 years and recommended reallocating some of that money, and that was spread out throughout the city. Jefferson received some, Chapin received some, Irvin, Andrusser Fine Arts Center, a number of multipurpose buildings were built. Franklin received a stadium. So all but $19 million of the $54 million has been spent. And at this point, what this board has decided to do is hold on to that $19 million until November 9th to determine to either add to the projects that are approved in the bond, or if not, to have some debt capital to be able to work with the situation that were presented on November 9th without a bond.
So I guess at this point in the conversation, as I begin to ask more questions, it'll become obvious to our listening audience anyway. So under full disclosure and transparency, you made a statement a moment ago about the chamber's endorsement. And I think I can say on behalf of our board, we're proud to be supporting this bond. We think it's the right thing for our community to be pursuing. But as I ask you some of these questions, it's clear that I'm asking them sort of tossing you softballs, because some of these questions are questions being asked throughout the community, and I think they deserve clarity. So let's start with, teacher raises? Because that's been the big question. Why are there not teacher raises built into this proposed bond?
Well, I'll go ahead and take that, Richard. Yes, something very important to us and obviously a major focus. Teachers are our most important asset in the district. But when you sell debt as a school district, by law, those monies can only be used for physical assets. And that would be buildings, buses, as you know, are on there, technology, safety and security enhancements to the district. The only money that we can use for raises are part of our operating dollars that we receive every year, depending on how many children show up in the school district. We're actually, by working on this bond and by hopefully passing this bond, we're trying to minimize the amount of money utilized out of maintenance and operations towards buildings so that we'll have more money for teacher raises. But just to be clear, the bond money itself cannot be used for human capital or for personnel costs.
Very good. Thank you, sir. So back to Dory. There are a couple of other questions that are being posed throughout the community, and I think it's a good idea for you to provide clarity to those as well. One would be, and start with one at a time, bond accountability, which, by the way, is, I'll get to that in a moment, is a high priority for the chamber through our endorsement as well.
That's right. Yeah. There's two parts to bond accountability. You know, when the trustees, the elected trustees took office a year and a half ago, unanimously our number one goal was to do what it was necessary to restore public trust in the school district. And we've done that in a myriad of ways. First of all, we are committed to transparent governance. All of our meetings are open. All of our committee meetings are open to the public. Our agendas are posted online. We have a fraud, waste and abuse hotline that callers can report issues anonymously, and they are investigated by an internal auditor who reports directly to the board. Also, I think that there is an accessibility in our leadership that we have not seen in a long time. The trustees are available by email, phone, and in-person visits whenever an issue arises. And also, we're the only region in the state that annually discloses our personal financial statements.
I'm sorry. Repeat that, please, for our audience.
We are the only region in the state of Texas that annually files our personal financial statements. That is a public record. And the trustees, four trustees who ran a year and a half ago, ran knowing that that was a requirement. Those are important measures. And but in addition to that, related to this bond, we have created the first district in the state of Texas to ever do this. We created a compact with the voters that lists the projects that are promised and holds us accountable, it's actually a legally binding document that holds the current trustees and future trustees to these projects that are promised. We are also going to hire a third-party bond project management firm who will keep the projects on budget and on time. There'll be a dashboard on our website that's real-time that lists the projects, their start date, end date, where they are in progress, and how much has been spent compared to the budget. And then, of course, we'll have the Citizens Bond Oversight Committee. So I think that you'll see those are tremendous steps that say, look, we do think it's time to hold us accountable for what we're doing, but understand what we're doing so that the community has the confidence that we can manage and will manage this transparently, honestly, and responsibly.
I just would like to add, a lot of folks ask us this question specifically because I think the city's struggling with the quality of life bond and in terms of executing that. I will say in our situation, it's quite different. We're not having to go out and acquire land or you know, we're not building new buildings in outside of the current spaces. We're actually consolidating and working on buildings and land that we own. So for us to get started and to work on it, it's actually a quite quick process in that sense, as opposed to having to go out and do what the city's doing and work with a lot of parties and trying to build, you know, new sites or swim facilities and whatnot. For us, this is not about growth. It's about consolidation, existing assets, and we can get after those, I would say, fairly quickly.
Now, let's talk a little bit about, unless I missed we didn't get clarity on this, but as part of this bond initiative, the this is not all about building new facilities and repairing, which is in desperate need. But it's also about, unfortunately, for some, closures.
Yes.
Would you talk about that for me, please?
Yeah. So we are a decline enrollment district. And this is not just an El Paso issue. Every large urban center in America, their legacy district, their original school district, we often call these the name school districts, the El Pasos, the Corpus, San Antonio's. They've all declined in enrollment over the last 20 years. As one could imagine, they're victims of suburban growth, suburban sprawl. Everybody's got a Socorro or a Canotillo in their city, right? A new suburb that's grown and exploded. And so we have fewer children than we've had 10 or 15 years ago. And in order for us to operate efficiently, we need to have fewer buildings, which will allow us to provide more money to teachers and technology and programs. So as part of this bond, we're taking 16 existing facilities and consolidating them into 7 parcels of land. So there'll be nine schools closed and 7 brand new K-8s built to accommodate children that are currently in those 16 campuses. And one of the most exciting aspects of the bond is that on those 9 parcels of land that are all parts of communities, the trustees have committed to work with each local community independently and make decisions with those communities about what to do with those parcels of land and the buildings. Those are taxpayer-owned assets, the land and the buildings. And for us, we want to enhance communities. Schools enhance communities. And in those buildings and those parcels of land, we want to make sure whether they be housing or parks or nonprofits or Boys and Girls Clubs, whatever that community wants, the trustees can work with them to make sure that we continue to be a vibrant part of the community, utilize those parcels of land to be a vibrant part of that community.
Very good. And we also, Dory, talked before we started to go on air about the issue of public trust. You touched on that a little bit, but why don't you go a little further into that for our audience?
I think there's concern that or an impression that the school district is just spending money, without concern or sympathy, I suppose, or sensitivity, I guess is the right word, to the community, the need to come to the community and ask for a tax increase. I think it's important to know that if you look at what we've done in the year and a half that the trustees have been governing the district, we've passed 2 balanced budgets. We have accessed an additional $14 million from state funding through the tax ratification election a year and a half ago without a local tax impact. We put $12 million away in our general reserve fund this year. And despite the declining enrollment, which has cost us over $20 million a year in revenue loss, we've put $20 million a year in additional expenditures towards teachers and technology and new programs that directly benefit our kids. Furthermore, we have lowered our administrative cost ratio, which means the amount that we're spending at central office and on administration has decreased to we are one of the lowest in the state of like-size school districts. I'm really very, very proud of that. That means that more money is in our classroom, and we continue to invest more money in our classrooms, which is what this bond is about. This is about allowing us the opportunity to create better working environments and safer environments for our children, modern, safe, and comfortable environments for our children that will allow us to attract and retain the great teachers.
Great, because that was actually one of my questions, to talk about the classrooms themselves. We've heard all sorts of misinformation in the community regarding size of classrooms, number of teachers, and the question, which you kind of answered anyway, when we talked about pay raises, also aligns to the other issue, which is why are we not hiring more and more teachers and using some of this bond money, which we cannot do by statute, correct? So I want to touch on a couple of things related to the chamber's endorsement. We talked about accountability a few moments ago. The chamber made this a centerpiece for our support, but I think it's good to explain to our audience as well why it's a centerpiece. And part of it goes back to prior experiences in the community, not necessarily with EPISD, but across the community, where bonds have been approved by the voters, including bonds passed by the municipalities, not just the school districts. And yet we see unfortunately, far too few of those dollars going to local contractors, despite the fact that in many cases the PACs that are formed to help support pushing the bonds forward to the voters are partially, if not wholly, funded by those same very contractors in the community. So we were starting to feel the frustration. Our members were feeling the frustration. So we did stipulate in our approval, although we can't go back on anything, we'll have to just kind of, you know, shake hands and take each other's word for it, that we're expecting the district to spend 85% of the bond money, should it pass, used for local contracting in the marketplace, and that we want to have a seat on that bond oversight committee as well, and as well that you'll fulfill that obligation of accountability for the plan to execute the projects. You mentioned the city a moment ago, which has been a little frustrating for a lot of folks. So can we talk a little bit about that? Would you mind?
Absolutely. This is something that I'm very passionate about. You know, having lived all over Texas, I understand that this is not as fluid an economy as some of our larger cities, and it's important when you have a bond of this size. And the independent study we received told us that over $1 billion of economic activity will come to the city. And for us, we know that the majority of that money needs to stay here at home. It's very important for our local economy. We're very happy to receive that input from the chamber. Since then, both Ms. Fennebach and myself and other trustees have met with all of the major associations, general contractors, the engineers, the architects, to visit about this. And we've also done some research historically. We're proud to say that in the last 30 years, only one school, which is Franklin, was built with an out-of-town contractor. And as you know, subcontractors are primarily the folks in the city. That's not a problem. It's important that the general contractor be from the city. And we've had a good track record of that. And we're actually working to make sure our policies offer every advantage to local contractors. So we feel very comfortable that we will comply with that.
We're getting down to around 5 or 6 minutes remaining on our airtime. So I'd like for either one of you to provide us with some closing comments so you're not rushed.
I would just like to say that, you know, for us, this work, and I'll speak for myself, but I think the board president is in, you know, feels the same. We really are excited about the academic improvements. We have had a number of folks from around the country paying attention to the work that we're doing, trying to move into an active learning framework, trying to move away from a lecture and memorization in classes into open, modern learning environments. The bond monies will help us not only rebuild schools that are safe and secure and create better working conditions, but most importantly, will create modern learning spaces that will help prepare our children for the jobs of the 21st century, which hold in what very important for these jobs is collaboration, creative thinking, working together as teams, and these open classrooms that we'd like to create will facilitate that sort of learning. We've worked aggressively in the last few couple of years to spread this work around the city. We've invested over $5 million to train every teacher on this active learning framework that we call it, project-based learning. And that, in addition to investing in extending our IB schools across the city, dual language across the city, technology across the city for every kid in high school and middle school, irrespective of where they live, everybody's going to have access to the same technology and 21st century learning opportunities. We're just excited about the bond helping us continue that progress. But I want folks to know that first and foremost, we're focused on creating the most innovative academic opportunities for our children so that our kids in El Paso have every opportunity to compete for every job and every college seat across the country.
I actually need to insert a comment here, and that is firsthand, you and Dory were both with us on our inner city visit to San Diego, and you were instrumental in arranging for us to have a demonstration and a visit to Qualcomm quickly, very quickly, unfortunately, kind of touch on those concepts that you're seeing there and that we're trying to implement here.
That's exactly related to what I just mentioned. That was there. We're bringing those to El Paso. These are called World of Work Labs. And these are, you know, we like to say tinkering, engineering, STEM-type labs where kids can go think and experience aspects of careers in the local economy. So we are working right now with Qualcomm and University of San Diego to bring at least one or two of those to El Paso. We've already talked to the MCA Collaborative as well about partnering with us on that. Very excited about these very innovative, unique learning opportunities for children, very hands-on, project-based, and we want to make sure that every child has access to this across the city. So we're working on bringing those.
Thank you. Dory, last thought?
You know, I'm honored to be serving this community and volunteering my time on behalf of this district. You know, I was where the rest of the community was a year and a half ago, watching from the sidelines what was happening in the district. Now that I've been in this chair, in this seat, and gotten to know the superintendent and gotten to know and understand the tremendous progress that is happening, we all have so much to be proud of. This is an historic turnaround, and we are earning statewide and national recognition for the progressive reform that's happening. And I've been told that our administrative central office operates with the innovation and creativity of that at the corporate offices at Google. And out of 16,000 school districts in the nation, they put EPISD as operating within and among the top 1%. It is tremendous what's happening in our district. We have tremendous momentum, but it takes ethical trustees, it takes progressive administration, and also our community. It is a three-legged stool. This now is an opportunity for our community to do their part and be a part of this momentum, and they can do it on November 8th.
Thank you. So my last comments as we're wrapping up the show, in addition to saying to both of you, thank you so much for being on the show. We hope that on this coming Tuesday, the 8th of November, that we'll be able to celebrate sometime late that evening the passing of this bond. But I want to emphasize something to our listeners. Many of you are of that age where you have homestead on your property, which enables you to get a 25% cap on your current property taxes, which means you can get out there and vote for this to support your children and your grandchildren and not have your taxes be impacted, your property taxes, as a result. So please remember that. Please get out and vote on this November the 8th. And I can say what Mr. Cabrera cannot say, which is get out and vote in favor of this bond, please. We appreciate all of your support. We wish you a great Saturday and even better Tuesday, November the 8th. Thank you again for being guests on the show. And thank you all for listening.